from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders on this beautiful Friday. I am James Hamm. Of course, Kyle Madsen is on vacation. So we have brought in one of my Kings Beat partners, Mr. Sean Cunningham of Fox 40. Sean, how are you?
I'm great, James. Good to see you, Jesse. It's great to be back in these palatial studios. This is so much nicer than what I had to rock with back in the day radio days.
This is an incredible studio.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah, just like the whole thing. Even just our little rooms, they're off the chart, but the building itself is just massive. And you get to see some old friends. You walk in, Sean, you know, like radio people, I think, stay in radio, a lot of radio people. So, you know, you got Rich Ripley outside. You saw Justin Case.
He just walked by. He's a lot grayer.
He's a lot grayer. Well, I think he's approaching 40 years in the market. Wow. So, yeah, good stuff. Let's start today with this horrific thing that happened to James last night.
Uh-oh. We're starting out on a downer. This is a Friday, James.
It's a Friday, but we're starting out on
Friday feel good.
The worst bad beat of all time.
I know where we're going.
Yeah, so the Sacramento Kings beat the Golden State Warriors last night 134-133. Hidden within this is that James does Prize Picks. It's something that I do. They're a sponsor of the Kings Beat podcast. So they have this new thing where you can choose some selections that are a little more difficult to actually hit on, right?
As if you needed things to be more challenging when it came to picking in with price.
Yes. So, of course, I do not need to make things more difficult because I realistically am really bad at price picks, right? But last night, I just happened to, like, it was brilliance. Like, I knew early on, oh, man, I got it, right? And so... we get to the game. I've already hit Steph Curry plus with more than 5.5 rebounds. I've already hit Kevin Huerter with more than 2.5 three-pointers. I just go with Keegan Murray dunks, still set at 0.5. He had two. He had at least one. I took the most bold prediction of all time, which was Harrison Barnes with more than 3.5 rebounds.
Ooh.
He grabs that rebound after the ball slips out of Kuminga's hand. They give him a rebound. I get my four rebounds. I've gone to Sabonis, made three-pointers. He has two. Sean, it's all lined up. It's perfect. I have De'Aaron Fox more than 29.5. He gets fouled in the lane. They don't send him to the free throw line. At the last set, Harrison Martins grabs that rebound. He throws it to Kevin Huerter. Kevin Huerter throws it to De'Aaron Fox, where he would be fouled and sent to the free throw line. No, they fouled Huerter first.
Mm.
It's the worst bad beat. I lose 0.5, and on a $20 entry,
would have netted.
Hold on your hats, because it was a very difficult selection. $2,000.
Oh, jeez. You know, I think there's a lesson here, and there might be a hotline for you.
$2,000.
I just think, buddy, sometimes maybe you just make your picks and
just not pay attention.
Yeah.
Ever again.
Wait
until the end of the season and see if I have any money left.
Yeah, just walk away.
That's a good idea. You don't get disappointed doing that. You just come back like, oh, wow, there's money here.
Yeah, look what I did. Oh, I found money. Oh, I made it, you know, whatever. And it's like you put your picks, you walk away, you don't know what happens.
Yeah, I still won $200, which is perfectly fine, but that was like an $1,800 swing for 0.5 of a point.
You swing for the fences, bro.
I do. I always swing for the fences because I don't care. It's just
clearly
fun.
That's not
for
the
me.
Case.
It's fun. Well, when you that's a bad beat, Sean.
Everyone knew to leave you alone probably last night. Your dog slept in another room. They probably went out to one of your many boats and just chilled
out
there. Yeah,
I had to call the wife in. I'm like, all right, I don't want to make you upset, but let me show you what just happened. She was like, all right, whatever. Sean, it was a good game. That, you know, again, I think that was probably the most entertaining Kings game of the season by my book.
Really?
134-133.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly up there. And to me, I think the biggest takeaway is I know they were making a big deal about being able to win in the regular season in that building dating back to 2020. But it's like, do y'all remember game 6? I mean, that was an incredible performance where they really put their foot down in that playoff series to force the game 7. But I don't know if I don't think I'd thought about it quite in those terms, in terms of like the best game of the season, but I think it happens at a time that you really needed it, for sure. I mean, the 4-game losing skid was just in the rearview mirror. You've had games that you haven't been able to close out, and they've certainly taken a toll on this team.
Yep.
And then you do it in a way where Harrison Barnes goes back-to-back 30s and goes a career high against his former team, and you're on the very beginning of a season-long 7-game road trip, and so I can see all the things that fall in line in terms of this being the right game at the right time against the big brother that's kind of owned you a little bit. So
yeah,
I guess I could look at it that way. It was certainly a thrilling game, but you know what? I think the last 3 games have all been decided by 1 point. That's crazy.
No, it is crazy. But this is what the Kings needed. They needed games like this to learn how to win and to really keep focused. And let's be honest, Kevin Huerter almost, like, he almost
wet the bed.
Oh, my goodness. Missing 2 free throws in the final seconds, it just felt like, oh, no, this can't happen again. But
I love that it also was very true to form, like, because free throws have plagued this team. And even games where they, you know, shoot well from the free throw line, they can still have that type of moment where it's like, oh, no. But all of a sudden, then you see him on the defensive end helping De'Aaron Fox blitz Steph Curry and say, this guy is not going to beat us. And they use defense, James. They use defense 2 or 3 times down the stretch to close that out for a team that's absolutely dreck when it comes to on the defensive end. So
they are, but I think everybody is dreck on the defensive end this year. We'll get to that a little bit later. We had the All-Star starters announced yesterday. The East, we have Halliburton, Lillard, Tatum, Giannis, and Embiid. No surprises by any of that in the West?
I got a little one.
You got one?
Lillard was a little surprised. I thought Donovan Mitchell would have had my vote.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people were, you know, throwing Jalen Brunson. Look, all 3 were going to be All-Stars, so it didn't matter who was going to start. But I was a little surprised to see Lillard start.
Okay. And I think they said something like there was the fan vote tilted it one way by not much. Like they talked about like the numbers. In the West, we got Luka. We got SGA. We've got Kevin Durant. We've got LeBron making his 20th All-Star appearance, which is crazy. And, of course, Nikola Jokic again. I think true to form, maybe Steph Curry should have been in there, but these right now are some of the best 5 players.
You say Curry, I say Kawhi Leonard, and I don't know who he...
Okay.
I mean, look, fan vote is so huge, so KD and LeBron are going to probably beat out Kawhi in that regard, but all 3 will be All-Stars. So.
Well, I guess if you don't take half of like 4 seasons off, then, then maybe people would think differently. Maybe they would know who you are. Mm. I mean, no one can say his name anyways. We'll get to All-Star snubs and stuff like that later. We really can't talk about snubs right now because
why?
The reserves haven't happened.
Oh.
Yeah, once the reserves happen, then it's like it's on.
So when we make our reserves later in the show and we fight about them, does that make it put in stone those will be the reserves?
No.
Coaches get to decide.
Coaches get to decide.
Do you trust the coaches when it comes to All-Star votes?
I don't know. And who is the coach?
Well, for example, like if you were to have a discussion about like somebody like James Harden, obviously the Clippers are doing very well. James Harden doesn't necessarily have the numbers, but let's say from a scoring standpoint, he was averaging 10 points a game more, so he was more in the Devin Booker camp. Devin Booker, who got snubbed last year, well, the coaches reward him. But coaches tend to reward winning, and I don't know that coaches love James Harden, so...
Maybe it's going to be interesting, George, especially, you got Paul George. I mean, you have the De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis debate. There's a lot that can go on there. We also have this weird, I mean, the way they're framing this is that the Falcons passed on Bill Belichick and hired Raheem Morris yesterday. I don't know. That just seems weird to say that you passed on Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that is a little weird. But, I mean...
Maybe it's how it happened.
70-year-olds on the sidelines, I mean... I don't know. I can understand.
I think he wanted control. He wanted more player personnel control. And the guy who was doing the hiring process was the guy who has player personnel control. And like, I don't think I want to give all that up to you.
Yeah.
Especially since you don't have a great track record over the last couple of years. And then the last thing that we have here is this is a dark day in the NBA. This is the fourth anniversary of the passing of Kobe and Gianna Bryant. In a helicopter accident in Calabasas, California. They were, two of nine total passengers and crew that perished that day. It's a bad day. It's one of those days that I think every year that it comes around, it sticks in your mind. It's one of those things for us. It's where were you when?
Right.
And I think that's how I'll always look at it. Like calling Doug, and Doug is on the team bus going to, I think it was Minnesota. They were in Minnesota heading to the arena, and like one of the first things Doug said, well, because the initial reports were that it was just Kobe by himself, well, Kobe with some other people, he said, well, at least none of his girls were with him, and then the reports come out. It was just absolutely heartbreaking. But Sean, I know, you're a Kobe guy too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so much interaction over the years, Kings and Lakers, and of course, USA Basketball. He was coming off of not long ago where he had made his return to USA Basketball, and just interesting. Even if he didn't play for USA Basketball and just showed up, you could just see like all the NBA players gravitate toward him as if, I mean, he played just recently. It wasn't like he's Bill Russell where everyone has to gravitate toward him to just pay respects. It's like, no, they all idolize and worship the guy.
Yeah.
And for me, it was particularly striking because everyone remembers, but where they were, I was heading to Miami, literally about to get on a plane an hour later to cover the 49ers in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs that year. So 12 days in Miami, and it was kind of this hovered over the entire national landscape for so long. And it was a topic all over Miami for Super Bowl. I went to concerts later the very next weekend, not even 7 days after. And he's being honored by like Maroon 5 and Adam Levine, who's like a huge Laker fan. He comes out and he's holding a Kobe jersey and wearing a Kobe jersey. So it definitely resonated the entire time you were out there. And for me, it was like you had all the media, all the attention, and it was nonstop Kobe talk as it should have been.
Yeah, definitely a dark day. We'll be back. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to shift gears. We're going to go back to basketball. We're going to do six quick thoughts. Sean will sit here and making fun of my six quick thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
And making fun of me losing in Prize Picks. And we're the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. See you in a few minutes.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James. Sean Cunningham from Fox 40 is joining me today.
What up? Getting to know the Chatty House pretty well. This is great.
You're just hanging out with the Chatty House?
Well, it's fun because you get to actually see some, like for the King's Beat, you get to see some of the familiar names, which is great, but there's a lot of new ones too, and they're very welcoming.
We haven't done a live show in a while, Sean, so you know the live show is spectacular when we do live shows with the King's Beat, except for DB gets a little weird with Sean every time.
I have an admirer.
Sean does. Yeah. He does have an admirer, and it gets a little awkward.
DB is to me what I'm Rihanna.
Oh.
Although I'm not that weird. So that's a little different.
But you are the man who saved
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Saved her. Single-handedly saved Paris Hilton's life.
It's a great story.
Yeah. And now she's had a child. And
a book. And she's doing her music again. She's doing well. If not for me, none of that would have happened.
So none of it would have ever happened.
You're welcome, humanity.
Jesse, I think we're ready to do six quick thoughts. Do we have key the intro?
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick.
Sean.
Jay.
We got to go through six quick thoughts. Feel free to chime in as soon as, well, at any time. Fly, Falcon, fly. That's the number one thought. Jason Barnes dropped 32 points and the Kings win over the Hawks on Monday. And he carried that over into this game. He was crazy, man. 39 points, 20 of them came in the first half, and those 39 points are his career high.
How about that? Not really expected. Not really. I didn't expect him to have 20 shot taken in the Monday win over the Hawks, and he carried that into the Warriors game. A little bit of adjustments going on. Mike Brown saying he never really runs plays for Harrison. I guarantee you he was running plays for Harrison yesterday.
Yeah, he's figured out that running plays for Harrison might equate to wins.
Yeah. And getting into the free throw line more than anything. I mean, you need a stabilizing force at the free throw line because this team sucks at it.
Oh, yeah.
Harrison can be that guy. And also, because there's a lot of people on social media last night kind of apologizing to Harrison Barnes, I noticed.
You know, I feel bad.
Somebody put together like a permission slip. Like you had to check the box of like what you were actually apologizing to Harrison Barnes for.
Okay. You know, they need to because, you know, we kept saying it like throughout the year. It's not that he's gone away. All of his offensive numbers look the same, except for his rebounding number, which has just been atrocious. Right. But the offensive numbers specifically, he's still shooting 48-point-something% from the field. He's still shooting 40% from three. It was just the volume of shots, and not only the volume of shots, but the usage rate, like, plummeted. And sure enough, you give him the ball, you give him an opportunity, and he still looks like the same player. We're going to have a longer discussion about this here in the next segment.
So in honor of Harrison Barnes and his career night, James has to do his best Hassan Whiteside impression of the Black Falcon.
Caw-caw.
There you go.
There it is. And you know what? For that matter, we'll just do this right now. It's clear. The Jiffy Lube player of the game. We do Jiffy Lube player of the game after every single Kings game. You are you go to ESPN1320.com. There's a giant Jiffy Lube logo on the middle of the screen. Click on that. Today's password is Black Falcon.
Ooh.
You can also just put in Falcon, but Black Falcon is what our Jiffy Lube player of the game. It is, of course, Harrison Barnes. I'd also point out, like, go right now, put your name in. You're putting your name in for a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube with the possibility of winning. And on top of that, we are now giving away a Sacramento Kings jersey, one a month for the next 4 months. And that will be chosen out of the people who win the $100 gift certificate. So go in right now and put your name in. The hat, because you can not only have the possibility of winning a $100 gift certificate, but also a Sacramento Kings jersey. Next key, there he is. De'Aaron Fox has struggled lately, but he looked like himself, posted 29 points, 5 assists in front of Grant Hill and Steve Kerr, who both are the Team USA guys. He was one of 41 invitees for a spot on the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris. He will be vying for that spot this summer. Sean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, how about those walk-up threes? I mean, just the confidence to just walk up and chuck, and he needed them. I mean, he went 3 of 7 from the beyond the arc, but more importantly, I thought it was a calming force. I mean, we've seen this team where Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox struggle to shoot and struggle to impact the game. Obviously, Domas on the boards typically is right there. He had a 20 rebound game the other night, 13 assists last night. Both those guys, you know, for what they are, they usually have to rely on them so often, and you got to see it. At first, I didn't think you were going to see that game from Fox, just because of how well Harrison Barnes had it rolling. But yeah, absolutely great to see him. Great to see that smile. Great to see those guys kind of roll again and really bring back that offense, because for a team that lives and dies by the three, man, they were letting it fly.
I agree. Let's get to number three, Bully Ball. Sabonis has had his struggles against Warriors, but not this game. He hit the glass. He set up his teammates. He finished with 18 points, 8 rebounds, 13 assists. That's his 26th straight double-double, which moves him into second place in franchise history. He's 3 away from tying Oscar Robertson's record of 29. Impressive.
I'm betting on it. That's a prize pick.
Oh.
That's one that won't go wrong.
Yeah.
And you know what? I feel like he really needed it. And we talk about just the weight that some of these games against Golden State have. Mm-hmm. I mean, Domantas Sabonis needed a game like that, man. Like, he just needed to have a moment against Kevon Looney and Draymond Green, because these guys really make life difficult for him and just his style of play. So, they kept him off the boards a little bit. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought Kevin Huerter would have led your team in rebounding? So good for you, Kevin Huerter. But I think Domas needed this. I thought he was, 8 of 11 from the floor. He got everybody involved, and he was able to stay on the floor. I mean, he had 5 fouls. That was the only thing that was plaguing him. Some of them coming on the offensive end. We've seen that quite a bit this season. But, good for him. He needed it.
Yeah, he did. I think the other big thing that we saw from Domas, 2 of 2 from the three-point line, but also he had like 1 or 2 other mid-range jump shots. And if the Warriors are going to back away and not defend you, then that's what he's got to do. Let's get to point number 4. Showdown. Davion Mitchell has been out of the rotation, but Mike Brown gave him another look. He went 3 of 5 from the field. No, 3 of 5 from long range. 10 points, 4 assists. His defense is always solid, but if he can score at all, it adds another element, which may, in fact, let him play the game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's always on the floor because of his defense. Obviously not the biggest guy, but for him to have the confidence to take those shots and just drain them. I mean, he was like 3 straight at one point from beyond the arc, and they, everybody was hitting threes last night. But he's also so disruptive defensively. I don't care how big he is. And you hear it from Mike Brown, like in recent, scrums, practice, shoot-arounds, where it's like, I don't know what the moment was, but Mike Brown felt like, no, he's back in the rotation. He's playing well. I need to leave him alone. And I get the sense that, at least for the foreseeable future, that that's how it's going to be until they get maybe a better option there.
Yeah, I think that, the better option thing is still there.
Sure.
But
not on this team, though.
No. Yeah. No, for right now, I think this is where you got to go until we get through February 8th. Let's get to number 5, quality game. Over his last 5 games, Kevin Huerter started to return to form. He's hitting his three-point shot, finding other ways to impact the game. He hit the glass. He finished with 13 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Actually, I'm wrong. He finished with 12 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and also 3 steals. Man, he's figuring out a way to impact the game. If they would have lost this game because Kevin Huerter missed 2 free throws, I would have felt really bad for him because, clearly he doesn't want to miss free throws, but also he had played a really good game, an all-around game. Some of the passing, the lob that he threw to Malik Monk was incredible. Mm-hmm. The basket that the play they ran where he caught the inbounds ball and bounced it to Sabonis for the dunk to take the lead back, that was huge. Just all around a really good, solid game for Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, and Domas kind of jokes about it. It's like, it's a full-time job keeping Kevin Herter's confidence up. A confident Kevin Huerter is exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And we've seen it. We've seen him go through his lulls, and you can see it's affected him. But If they anything that he's impacting the game in other ways, and we've talked about it before, James. Like if he's not hitting his shots, oftentimes he's worthless on the floor. He's finding ways to still remain relevant, even if his shot's not falling. I think now he's got a shot coming back. He knows he can impact the game in other ways, and he's got the confidence of his team, which therein gives him confidence as well. I mean, Domas has all the confidence in the world of him.
Yeah, I think this is just one of those things. Like there are players that go through lulls, and you got to find a way to stay the course. Some of them need that extra little boost that a teammate can give them or that a coach can give them. Let's get to point number six, which figured it out. Keegan Murray struggled with his long-range shot, starting 1-for-6. He hit one in the fourth. He started to go really aggressive offensively in the fourth. Not only did he hit a three, but then he got to the free throw line, ended up hitting a pair of free throws. He finished with 14.6 rebounds, but he also defended Steph Curry. And that's a big ask. And I think he's been that's been something that the Kings have relied on throughout the season for him to defend the toughest guy. But I think he is sort of figuring out how to be impactful on both ends of the court.
Yeah, I mean, they almost like go up to him and shake and baby syndrome him. And it's like, hey, we need you now.
Yes.
I don't care if you start off what you started off for. We need you. You've got a size advantage. You can use your length. And good for him, man. He hit the boards. It was 6 boards. I mean, sometimes we haven't seen that many from guys like him and Harrison Barnes, and they needed every one of them. So, I think it kind of trickled over from the Atlanta game for sure. And it's a nice start for the road trip for this team.
Yeah, and I'd also point out that, you know, I think a lot of people thought Wiggins will have a huge game or you know, Steph Curry. Steph Curry had a good game, 33 points. It took him 26 shots to get to 33 points. That means that you did a good job.
It does.
It means you did a good job. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to jump into this Harrison Barnes situation because it sure does look like he's trying to make his case to stay with the Sacramento Kings and not be part of the trade deadline bloodletting that I think a lot of fans want. So we're going to hit that after the break. I am James Hamm. He is Sean Cunningham from Fox 40. We are the insiders today on ESPN 1320.
Now back to the insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the insiders. I am James. Joining me, Fox 40's Sean Cunningham.
Hi, James.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sam.
he's only listening on YouTube, so
that's okay.
Yeah,
hey, it still counts, right?
It
you get credit for it.
It does still count. So shout out to our friend Mr. Amick, who may or may not be watching us on YouTube today. So it's always good to see, right?
I like when my friends tune in. They can tell me all the stuff behind the scenes that I can't, you know, they'll say everything that I can't say, and it's always funny.
Yeah, they can also like tell you what's happening behind you when people walk by and stuff because we can't see.
And how handsome I look.
There it is. Sean, I think it's really interesting what's happening here. Everybody knows that one of the ways for the Sacramento Kings to try to improve their roster is to trade Harrison Barnes. And it's not a secret. I'm sure that at some point the Sacramento Kings have sat down with Harrison Barnes and explained to him, like, look, it's not about you. It's about the fact that we're trying to take this other leap. You're not of the same age group of the rest of these guys. You're 31 years old. Most of our team is between, like, 24 and 26. And
you think that factors much into it?
What do you mean?
Like, the age group? Because I've asked myself that quite a few times, and I float that out there to sort of talk to, and I get a little bit of pushback there because I still think there's a lot of people that think that's still a prime, depending on the player, is still a prime age. But
no, I think
like look at Paul George right now. You know, like if I think everybody would think, oh, if the Kings had Paul George, that would be an upgrade over Harrison Barnes, and he's what, 33?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think for every player, it's different.
Sure.
And I think for me, I've always Harrison would be a guy who did not fade nearly as quick because he is a guy who treats his body the right way,
right,
who makes sure that he's doing all the maintenance that you need to do. But I think with this team, because he is the veteran, he's kind of been phased out to a certain degree, and he's been put on the shelf. Even though he's in the starting lineup, he's been asked to do less and less and less. And, you know, I think Harrison made some comments after the game where he tried to explain that, like, while it might look like he's doing less, he is actually doing a lot of the dirty work. He's doing some of the unsung stuff, you know, just because he's not getting a pass thrown to him while he's making a cut doesn't mean that his cut isn't impactful and that it doesn't have meaning and that doesn't help his teammates. You know, just because he isn't hitting a bunch of three-point shots doesn't mean he can't. It just means he's not getting those opportunities. And I think it's kind of interesting, but at the same time, he is a chip that you can use. It's about as much as Harrison Barnes is a solid veteran who's been on your team for a long time, he's also a $17 million, $18 million, $19 million player that can be used to acquire another player. And so it's kind of the reality of the situation. If you're looking at $30 million players, there's only a couple of ways to get up to a $30 million player as far as salary. And so Harrison's name is going to come up in that situation no matter what. Just like Kevin Herter's name comes up in that situation because he's kind of in the same tax bracket. And then one of them is 25 years old and one of them is 31. So while I don't think Harrison is washed up, I do think that like he has been phased out throughout the season. And then all of a sudden, he goes from getting two shots to 22 games in a row. And he shows everybody out there, including the Golden State Warriors, almost in like a defiant way that like, you know, yes, I can still play ball.
I'm capable.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and that's just it. Like the role he plays on this team would be different than a lot of other teams in the league. They would ask him to be a scoring threat still, mm-hmm. not just being a decoy. A guy who draws people to the perimeter because you can't leave him. He's still a bucket if he chooses to do it. And you've seen this kind of refresh some people's memory as to what Harrison Barnes is capable of. And on it just so happens that on this Kings team, he is a guy who is still a sixth, maybe seventh scoring option on this team.
Yeah.
So him playing the role of, I can go out there and win you a game if I need to, but I'm also the... You know, draw. You know, stretch the floor, set the good pick, make a cut, play some rather decent team defense. On ball defense is obviously pretty shoddy at times.
He's limited with his length and athleticism.
But I mean, he's on the perimeter so much. So like people who want to see him rebound, myself included, that's really difficult. And we talked about it in our last podcast. How hard is it to rebound when you've got a guy like Domantas Sabonis on the floor?
Yeah. No, I think all of these things play into it. But I also think that throughout this season, I think Harrison made the mistake of allowing himself to be phased out and allowing himself to, like, I think he's trying to be a good teammate. He's trying to understand, like, how it is that he takes a step back so other people can take a step forward. And I think he may have taken it too far. Like, when you start getting into this, like, sort of flow, right, of, okay, I need to do this and this and this, but I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to be too much of a distraction. I think sometimes you can lose yourself. And over the last couple of games, I think him showing that he can be this player, like, that's fine.
Sure.
Right? But you can't do it for 2 days in the month of January.
And not only that, you're not going to, if you're evaluating this team, you're not fooled by two games like this. And look, the reality is it's still an area of need on this team. If you have Keegan Murray and Keegan Murray is going to be who you think he should be and could be, then the upgradable position is to upgrade. You need an upgraded version of Harrison Barnes. And maybe that's a rim protector. Maybe that's more of a rebounding presence. Still has to be able to stretch the floor, but if they're going to be this team that is constructed the way that it is, you know, there's not, unless Harrison just all of a sudden flips a switch and says, I have to be this guy forcefully on the offensive end, and maybe that's the best recipe for success, then I'd kind of like to see that, see what that looks like. But it's going to come at the expense of somebody. I mean, look, you're putting up 126 points. I always tell you, and I also do it in a very profane way, that scoring does not matter on this team. They score. So they have no problem scoring. It's other areas of the game that need to be impacted. So, you know, in years past, when Harrison Barnes was on this team, I was screaming, like, you got to take more than 10 shots. You got to take more than 9 shots. You got to be a guy who scores. They don't need that anymore.
No.
So if they're able to upgrade that position, I think that's a good thing for the well-being of this team and the success of this team going forward. But also, when he plays that way, more times than not, they win.
Yeah, but I think it's always situational, because I think when Kevin Herter scores 30 points, they win.
Sure.
You know, when Malik Monk scores 30 points.
When he scores 16 points, they win.
Yeah.
15 points, they win. It's wild.
No, that's true. But you could also say, like, when Malik Monk scores, they win. You know, like, there's all of these players. When Trey Lyles has a big game, they always win.
Yeah.
So this team does have like this ability for different guys to take turns, like having those big nights. But what I think that the Harrison Barnes at this point, Like, you don't need 39 points. You don't need 32. But what you do need is you need 14 or 15 or 16. Like, he can't have, you know, sort of the old Billy Owens thing. One night he has 20 rebounds, the next night he has two. And he would tell you, well, I average 11 rebounds a game. But that's not, it's like, okay.
One of the most frustrating players ever if you're a Kings fan, Billy Owens.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with Harrison, we've got to this point where he averages, you know, where he'll score 20, but then he'll score two. And it's like, hey, man, I need you to get, like, closer to the middle every single game.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just at 12, well, 13, 14, 15, that is comfortable.
Even if he's getting to the middle, though, it's going to come at the expense of somebody else. And no. Then they're going to start to look at someone like Trey Lyles if it comes at the expense of him. And they go, oh, but they need Trey Lyles. Like, not everyone can score 20. Not everyone can score 15. You don't have that balanced scoring. So if he's scoring, who does it come at the expense of?
No, totally. I'm with you. And I mean, last night's game, Keegan Murray scored 14, but he still had 12 shots. The reason he scored 14 is because he went 2 of 7 from 3. Kevin Huerter scores 12, but again, 4 of 10. If he hits one more 3, he's at 15 points. You know, I think if we look at Malik Monk just had like a ridiculously bad game, which was going to be part of the 6 quick thoughts, but it just didn't make the cut.
Well, that's the one I always tell you, like, if he doesn't play well, they struggle to win.
Yeah.
He's the one guy, like, with a big beacon that when he's on, the game is just so much more fluid for this team.
Yep.
And, yeah, that was an anomaly because didn't even play 20 minutes.
Well, and you can make the argument he didn't deserve half the minutes he got
I get you.
Last night.
Turn the ball over. I mean, it was...
He just looked, like, out of sorts. And we've seen Malik go through this same like, fade-out stage multiple times during his time in Sacramento. So maybe he's just having a slight downturn. But again, he's a good player. He's gonna rebound. He's gonna be part of it. But
and by the way, that's the example. Harrison Barnes scores 39, comes at the expense of Malik Monk, scores 4.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, Malik Monk scored 4 because right. that's who he was last
right.
night. I mean, like, you could not have gotten much more out of Malik Monk, whatever the reason, I'm not sure.
Great foul, though. Over the top on Draymond Green.
Oh my goodness, that was like it was scary because you're like, oh, it's not great.
It was scary because you think someone might get hurt, but also this might escalate.
Oh yeah.
It didn't.
It seemed like they are okay with each other.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It seemed like he Malik even went over and the refs went over to separate. He's like, no.
We're good.
That's not. I just want to make sure everyone's okay here and everything else. So, yeah, I think for me it's really interesting because I do think that Harrison is showing that how valuable he can be, but I think the one problem that he has, it's not even so much that he is who he is, it's that the Kings don't have the complementary piece to go alongside Harrison Barnes. And, you know, if you put if you had two forwards like Harrison Barnes and Jeremy Grant, and Jeremy Grant can go defend the long, athletic, small forward that is you're up against, then I think Harrison Barnes looks a lot different than what he does today.
Sure.
But when you don't have that, it kind of exposes Harrison for who he is, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it, right? I do think that at this point, maybe they are showcasing him. Maybe they are just saying, hey, look.
Well, he'd be showcasing himself in that regard.
Well,
because he has to choose to be that guy.
Yes.
Right? And I don't know. I think there's been, I mean, and you can attest this too. I mean, you we're talking to Mike Brown at practices. During that 4-game stretch, and they have 3 days off, well, 3 days in between games, 2 practices before that Monday Hawks win. But it felt like there was some significant discussions and changes that were being made. We talked about Davion Mitchell a minute ago. I think it was a concerted effort to get Harrison more involved offensively.
Yeah.
And I think a big voice in that came from Domantas Sabonis, particularly with the way the free throw struggles had been. And even a game like last night where you're seeing Mike Brown still go to a guy like Chris Duarte or Kessler Edwards at moments last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I think it did have an impact at various times. I thought it did kind of create a little bit of jinkiness in the way that they were attacking the Warriors. Certainly Kessler with his length, and they weren't expecting that. You're still going to have those moments. But at the end of the day, I think he's really trying to tighten up his rotation and try to figure out what's going to be the best foot forward for this team going forward. You know, it reminds me similarly to when they came out of the Houston losses, where all of a sudden, call it a team meeting, calling a look in the mirror, but Domantas Sabonis like, no, we got to change up this offense. We got to go back to what worked for us offensively. And I think you're seeing it in the last couple of games. I don't think it's a throwaway our defensive ideas altogether, but somehow trying to get back to that up-tempo offense that was not only fast but efficient and was really your identity.
Yeah. I also think that the mood of the team was a little weird for like a week or two.
Well, yes.
I mean, it was weird. I mean, we know that there's like some of the guys weren't talking to the media and they're back, but I also think that that created tension that didn't need to be there, and that you could see the tension on the court with some of these players. And I think Fox all of a sudden like snaps out of it and looks like Fox.
Right.
And Harrison Barnes, who, again, so people know, Harrison Barnes hadn't really spoke to the media at all in a long, long time. Even he went for 32 the other night and didn't speak to the media afterwards. He did talk at practice the next day, but these are things where you can tell some of the players, like the anxiety of what might be coming, the, you know, all of the things that play into trade deadline and rumors and all that stuff. Maybe that gets under your skin. Just the overall, you know, tenor of this team this season has been a little weird. And it feels like if they can just like let go and just be themselves, they would be fine. Like this team is still extremely talented. It's still the same team it was last year. They just aren't playing that way. Like there's too much weird tension in the room. And again, I don't think it's because of a question that I asked or a tweet that you or other people put out. It's not about that. It's about just like there is an uneasiness about this team because of the big losses, because of the way that they are a roller coaster ride, and they understand that they might not have the horses to get to the finish line.
Well, and as every player on that team will tell you, when that question is asked, like what is different? You have the same identical record from last year, and it feels different. You're getting blown out. You have moments. I mean, you guys look uneasy at times. You don't look like a together, cohesive unit. You can say it's one of 82, but that gets old. The reality is, it's because there's expectations on this team.
Yeah.
And last year it was like, oh, this is great because we haven't seen this in decades, in literally 16 years, almost 20 years. And now it's different. So now we've seen it. How do you get better? Now the expectations are higher. And that's, you know, we talk a lot on our Kings Beat podcast, and that's why I always say it's like this team could finish worse than third. Like they finished third last year, finish worse than third in the West, and still be better poised to make a deeper playoff run. And I truly believe that. And especially, I mean, you have a trade deadline where that could change the makeup of this team and possibly the identity of this team. But even if not, like, you're going to bank on the continuity of this team going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would say this too, like, we get to the midway point in the season, right? And I think a lot of people think, oh, okay, you are who you are at 41 games in. And for the most part, I think a lot of teams that is true. But with this team in particular, the shift to try to bring Keegan Murray along and to not to totally phase out, but to ask veterans like Harrison Barnes to like, hey, we're trying to get, in order for us to be a great team 2-3 years down the road, we need Keegan Murray to take this step and this step and this step. And so we're going to have to ask you guys to sacrifice a bit. And that means Kevin Huerter. That means Barnes. Like, you guys are going to have to take a step back while we run a lot more stuff again. And I know, like, you can say, well, you know, why did you spend so much time doing it? It's like, because that's what development isn't just like a straight linear path to greatness. Like, it takes bumps and bruises, it takes like players taking a step back to take a step forward. And at the end of the day, the Kings have to do this in order for them to be really good down the road. They have to go through this painful task of bringing a development player along in order to be better, in order to improve their ceiling going forward. And so I think part of that is this, but then you get to a certain point in the season, it's like, okay, we did that for a while and it's helping and it's working and everything's improving, but now it becomes the sprint to the finish line. Now we're at the midway point of the season and it's time for us to go back to what works, go ask players that have taken a step back to take a major step forward again. And let's put this package together, but better Keegan Murray. And I think some of the times it doesn't feel good and doesn't look right, but I think that's what you have to do if you're a head coach who's not playing just for this year. You're playing to build an 8-year playoff run, not just a 2-year playoff run or a 1-year playoff run. You're trying to build something and establish something.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's not being spoken about enough is just look at the West.
It's tough.
Like being in the seventh seed right now in the West, you're six games out of first place, right? In the East, that's 11. So it's like, even with an identical record, like it's still for the taking.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in something in like no man's land yet, you know, and then the separation, when you look at it, like six, New Orleans, 5.5, Phoenix at fifth, 5.5. I mean, it all jumbled up.
You're like a half game out of like fifth place.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that that's more where this team will probably end up, like fourth, fifth place in the end, if they can get right. But I also, there is this huge thing that's hanging over their head. What if they do make a move? What if they do change things up? What if it is on a seven-game road trip right in the middle of it and you don't have players for three of the games and you drop a bunch of games that you shouldn't have, and all of a sudden you're in the mix for not the 4, 5, 6, but you're in the mix for the 8, 9, 10, and that doesn't feel good. Now you got to go through the play-in sequence, and like there is a lot riding on this.
Well, and that, it just shows you how fragile, because the flip side is, what if they win five straight?
Oh, yeah.
And then how different do people feel, you know, about where this team realistically is? And it's like, no, nothing really changed. They had a six-game win streak earlier in this year after dropping a bunch and some disappointing games. It's just where they are, you know. It's just the ebbs and flows of the season. It's like, no, you could go on a five-game win streak and still be sixth in the West, and
yeah,
and people might feel better about it. I mean, look at Utah. Utah jettisoned up after kind of being written off, and all of a sudden they're back into the play-in picture again.
Yeah, and they've got a quality team. Maybe it changed who they are at the deadline.
I don't think so, though.
You think they're still sellers?
I think they're still going to blow it up, yeah.
All right. We always
not blow
say
it
that.
Up, but it's like there's just so many expendable pieces on that team that...
Well, they're buyers and sellers at the same time. That's sort of the thing that's out there, and that's different, right? Like when you're potentially selling off a bunch of veterans in order to get younger and to build something, like it's not an easy path to take, but... They have this weird timeline issue that they've got to figure out. And they also have some young players that they really like. You know, Sean, we got to see Kessler Edwards, and when he stepped on the court last night, it was like, huh, I haven't seen number 17 on the court in a long time. That is Kessler, right? And I know he just went down and played in the G League and tore up the G League. Like, I mean, he showed that, I know it is what it is, right?
I shrug.
Yeah, you shrug, yeah. But okay. But he did as like a 23-year-old playing with like 40-year-olds that are the Stockton Kings. Like like the average age of the Stockton Kings is like 29.5.
Wild.
But it sure does look like he could fill a role. And I know it sounds crazy. I'm not saying start him, but what I am saying, I would like to see him as opposed to being in a group of reserves where, you know, there is sort of a question mark about who's going to be scoring this basket or that basket. You know, it's sort of, it's not as refined as the starters. I would like to see him play with a little bit more of a starting group here and there. So we could see what he looks like playing in a role where that might be able to hide some of his offensive deficiencies, but allow him to be more of a defensive guy in a way that maybe like Chris Duarte has this season.
I don't know. I mean,
it's okay to not have faith in Kessler Edwards.
I mean, look, on paper, you're like, oh, they need length, they need athleticism. Kessler Edwards, long and athletic dude. You talk about deficiencies, like, but he's kind of got a little bit of confidence at beyond the arc, you know, stretching the floor a little bit. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of faith in him from the limited sample size you get. He reminds me of a player, and I think we talked about this a little bit with like Rashawn Holmes in recent years, where if you need him to be impactful and be like his most impactful self in a 3-minute stint, well, that's probably impossible. But once he gets out there and revs up a little bit and has the opportunity to maybe take 3 or 4 minutes to get there, then he's capable of doing some good things. But it's the role he has to play on this team, if he's getting any minutes at all, is to come out of the gate running. And that's, I think, where the ebbs and flows for him don't best situate with this roster, or at least the rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, garbage time, he can come out and he can have some really, you know, nice moments. And we've seen how those moments get rewarded. But I am intrigued when he gets out there. Every time he comes out there, my eyes kind of gravitate toward him because you're not used to seeing it. But I don't know that I have the faith, and I would doubt Mike Brown has the faith to put him in those type of rotational moments. But certainly I felt he was impactful last night. I felt like he used his length and helped them. You know, I don't think he was like one of those key cogs necessarily, but the stay ready mentality of this team doing your job, he gets to check that box.
It kind of speaks to the exact need that they have. It's just you need a version. And I don't even...
Well, they went small. I mean, they didn't go to JaVale McGee, and Mike Brown talked about that. They didn't go to Alex Len last night, and they talked about that. So watching the Warriors go small, and then in doing so, you know, not putting them, like, you do X, I'll do Y. No, they went X also. They wanted to go small and answer with that as well, and that's what gave them the opportunity. It was nice, but are we going to see that in the next game if their opponent tends to go big? I mean, they're going to get Dallas here coming up on Saturday. I don't know that you'll see Kessler Edwards in that game.
Oh, you never know. Yeah. I mean, I might want to see him play against Luka Doncic.
And they might want to see JaVale McGee go up against his former team.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But at the same time, like, if you let JaVale McGee play against all of his former teams, then he plays every night. So, I mean, is that really fair to everybody?
The most recent one where, hey, let's get you 3 years and kick rocks after 6 months.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, he did not play against his former team last night.
Right.
You know, Alex Len did not get to play against his former team in Atlanta. Like, I don't buy the former team thing, sure, especially with, like, 17-year vets who have played for 14 different teams. Because then, like, really, if we're just playing that game, like, hey, it's your former team. Like, all right, well, I got a lot of those.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And I would say, again, with Kessler, you just need, like, unfortunately for him, I don't even know if it's a better version. It's a more comfortable, seasoned version that knows what his role is, walks in the door, steps on the court, and is ready to go. But either way, you need that. And it's just the big glaring weakness that has been this team for the last 4 or 5 years, where they don't have a long, athletic 3-4 that can go out and defend the Brandon Ingrams or the Jonathan Kamingas of the world,
right,
that all of a sudden look great because you just don't have somebody that compete with them.
Boy, Kaminga looks good right now.
He's playing so much better. Yeah, and I think he's found a way to, like, play a little bit of his game within the confines of their team. But, like, my point with him this offseason was, like, it's great that he's averaging, like, 26 a game during the preseason or whatever. It's just not sustainable with this type of offense that they run. He has to find a way to integrate what he does and how, you know, forceful and everything he is with a free-flowing style of offense that the Warriors play. So I think it's good. I also think it's a, like, Steve Kerr's begrudgingly a great coaching job.
Yeah, and I hate to be the thing where the butterfly just flew in front of my face, but Drew down in our chatty house was talking about JaVale McThree. Of all the things we've seen JaVale McGee do, and I know you've got a list of them in your mind because you actually emote when JaVale McGee steps onto the floor, and I get the privilege of being able to see that night in and night out. Him hoisting the three with probably 18 seconds on the shot clock in that, I think it was Monday's game against the Hawks.
Oh, God.
Was one of the most crazy things I've ever seen him do.
You know what, though? Like, all of the fall down stuff and all that, I can deal with that. Like, I can't deal with that. I got to be honest. I can't deal with it. You're on the ground all the time. You know, we can't keep going on JaVale talk. We got to step aside. We got to take
a moment.
Break.
Go towel off.
I need to cool down. Damn, Sean. You
look what I did.
Bring up JaVale McGee. And I'm like, all right, you're listening to The Insiders on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We will be back for the second hour in just a couple of minutes.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.